بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال الرسول: يا رب إن قوم اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, mashallah, there were great words that were rendered by our honorable MC, and perhaps just to propel from his words. By the way, I like aviation analogies, because I fly a lot, and you know, it always, I identify with it. So one brother told me, he said, you're flying so often, you might end up reading Qasar Namaz at home. There are two things that I generally say, and I'm going to tie it up to the hips thing, and again the analogy of pain. Some things are easy to achieve, but difficult to sustain. And one is getting married, and one is becoming a hafiz. To get married is easy. To remain married, I'm not the only guy, I'm sure you guys will agree with me. To get married, call a man, perform a nikah, and it's done. But to remain married, I was recently gone for a program in a particular place, and they told me there's a stalwart, there's a legend here, he's, you know, a pioneer. I said, please take me, I want to go and meet him. And I met this old uncle there, and the auntie there, and they were a cute couple, to use a good phrase, a cute, adorable, sweet, loving, both with their magnifying glasses, reading the Quran, sharing for one another. And I said, Chacha, Uncle, Baji, what's the age, if I may ask, just so that I can share it with others. So he said, Alhamdulillah, we are married for 70 years. I said, this is now an achievement. This is an accolade. Where at times we live in a scenario that the iddat period is longer than the marriage. The iddat period is longer than the marriage. So to get married is great, is awesome, is meritorious, but it's simple. To remain married, under all the pressures that come, under all the challenges that come. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eldest daughter Zainab radiyallahu anha was wedded to Abu al-As bin Rabi. Abu al-As bin Rabi was the nephew of Khadija radiyallahu anha. Khadija radiyallahu anha's sister's son. And she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zainab is of age, can we get them married? Wa kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam la yukhalifuha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm happy with it. If you're happy, it's a man in your family, we can get our daughter Zainab married. When Zainab radiallahu anha got married to Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi, generally people don't know much about this son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's sad. We know Sayyidina Uthman to Ruqayya and Umma Kulthum radiallahu anhuma. We know Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu to Fatima radiallahu anha. But many of people who perceive themselves to be hands-on when the seerat of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam don't even know the name of Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi, nor his great contribution and how the Nabi of Allah had extolled his praises. حَدَّثَنِي فَصَدَقَنِي وَوَعَدَنِي فَوَفَى بِي. When he got married, then there was great pressure on him to dissolve his marriage because of the opposition against Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So the disbelievers had mounted enormous pressure and they said, divorce this woman. And if you don't divorce this woman, that is Zainab radiallahu anha, we denounce you from the Quraysh. He was a loner, completely marginalized from the greatest society in the loyalty of his spouse and his marriage. He was not even a Muslim at that time. In fact, the incident is very amazing and it's very emotional that he was also in the Battle of Badr. When the Battle of Badr was fought, because he was not a Muslim at that time and everybody was called on board. And he was then captured. Zainab radiallahu anha, the daughter of Nabi alayhi salam, was still in Mecca. Just, I have a flash of it, so I'm just going to share it with you. So, when the prisoners were brought, the captives were brought, their relatives from Mecca had to send ransom to buy the freedom of their own relatives. So Zainab radiallahu anha then sent a valuable necklace which she had received as a gift from her late mother Khadija radiallahu anha, and this was the asset in her hand, and she sent this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to her father, for the freedom of her husband. Can you imagine, you know, we're living in a life, there's challenges, there's multiple emotions, We have to contend with sadness, happiness. One child brings joy to you, another child is perhaps giving you a bit of challenges. If you overpraise this, the child becomes sensitive, he feels implicated. So you need to deal sensitively with his emotions, etc. Here the Nabi of Allah rejoices the victory in Badr, rejoices the victory in Badr. In that very same Badr, Uthman radiallahu anhu doesn't participate. Why doesn't he participate? Because the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter, Ruqayya, was critically and terminally ill. So he was excused from Badr to attend to his wife. He had just completed the rituals of burial, she passed away. And he said, as I was dusting my hands up, I seen a horseman coming. And he said, glad tidings, Uthman, we were victorious in Badr. And he said, well, I have lost my wife in the interim. This is one emotion the Nabi of Allah is going through. You cannot possibly imagine. In fact, I often say, and I would reiterate it, when we look at the lives of Sahaba and that of our Nabi alayhi salam, we grapple to digest it in our minds, leave alone execute it in our reality. We bother and we say, is this humanly possible? Let me put this together in a mind, in thoughts, and we cannot put it together. And in that, when this jewelry was brought, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at this and he teared, tears trickled down his eyes. He said, look at the desperation of my daughter Zainab, and I know this is my late wife Khadija had given to her. He then asked the Sahaba, and this again was the quality of our Nabi alayhi salam. He was the man in authority. He was not subject to question, or it was not subject to anyone's consent. He said, if you approve, and I am not exploiting my authority, can I release my son-in-law without taking any ransom? I am really moved by the desperation of my daughter Zainab. She's put whatever was left with her. If you people consent, Sahaba were moved to tears. There wasn't a dry eye there. And then the Nabi of Allah returned this jewelry back to Zainab radiallahu anha. And he said, Abul As, you are free to go back. At this stage, marriage between the two was still permissible, but there could be no physical contact. But please send my daughter. Please send my daughter here to Medina. Makkah is no longer conducive. And when she was coming, who was the person? As the Nabi of Allah's daughter leaves Makkah Mukarramah, Habbar bin Aswad. He from a distance seen, he said, hey, there's the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we allow this woman to migrate, that's a reflection of feebleness on our part. That we are so lame and inactive that a woman can go in front of us and we do nothing. We need to flex our muscle. We need to show our authority and our clout. So he advances with a spear and a dagger, and then he pierces it on the camel on which she was mounted, causing her to fall and the camel to collapse. Some narrations say she was pregnant and her fetus was aborted. This is the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was then returned to Makkah, her condition was stabilized, and subsequently she came to Medina. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Khayru banati usibat fiya, one of my greatest children who suffered greatly for my cause. Long story short, in all this, people put pressure on Abu al-As and they said, dissolve this marriage. He said, Innaka ta'alam alla taqata li bi an ufariqaha. You can move the mountains and you can change night and day, but I will not succumb to pressure. I have married this woman and I'm here to remain in this marriage. What did I say? To get married is easy, to remain married is challenging. In the same way, to memorize the Quran is not simple per se, but relatively easier. Relatively, comparatively, compared to the challenge of preserving the Quran, definitely the memorization is easier. To remain a hafiz, to exhibit the qualities of a hafiz, to live the demeanor of a hafiz, that's a tall order and a big ask. And Sayyidina Uzair alayhi salam passed by a locality. أَوْكَ الَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا. He had a flash in his mind. Our mind, we know how our minds run and what crosses our thoughts. Allah forgive, we have nasty thoughts, we have evil thoughts, we have sinful thoughts, we have wicked fantasies, we have evil aspirations. But the pious had these amazing thoughts. I'm reminded of Salim, the grandson of Umar ibn Khattab. He was performing tawaf of the Kaaba. Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, the king, the ruler, the monarch of the time, he seized the moment, he came up close to this great man who was the sage of the age. He said, Salim, make a request and it's done. So he said, what an insult, I'm at the Kaaba and I must ask someone other than Allah. If I am there and I get a helping hand, I said, look at the barakat of Allah. Two in one. How Allah works in mysterious ways. No, no, where my mind is running. When the Prophet of Allah spoke about the coming of Dajjal, and then he said, Dajjal will plague the earth. Yawmun kasanatin. One day that will extend like 1 year. The Sahaba said, oh Prophet of Allah, sorry to interject. I just need to ask you a quick question. That one day that will extend like 1 year. Are we going to be performing 5 salah or salah equivalent to a year? Where's the mind running? Where's the mind running? If we are, we can be open 27, to open all day, 7 days a week, don't worry, it's only day. Maximize our business, generate more money. Where is my mind running and what was the thinking of Sahaba? So Salim said, I'm at the Kaaba and I must ask. No, that's an insult. He said, my apologies, he backstepped. As Salim completed the rituals of Tawaf and completed his 7 circuits around the Kaaba and he exited from the precincts of the Kaaba, again, the king approached him and he said, my apologies for not being sensitive to the location. Now that we have stepped outside, please tell me what can I do for you? So he said, are we referring to physical needs or spiritual needs? Are you going to be arranging my spiritual or my physical? What are we talking? Let's not have ambiguity or vagueness. Let's be clear what you're talking about. Now I often say, you tell a person, hey, I got your envelope. He's excited, the whole night he's dreaming. Next day you give him an invoice. I say, but you mustn't do things like that in future. But if it's an invoice, you must call it an invoice. Don't call it an envelope. My mind thinks different when you say envelope. Envelope for me is money. For me, envelope is one thing. You don't come say, hey, I got your envelope lying there. And then you see the street man here. And he said, now tell me, what do you want? He said, no, obviously, I'm talking of material things, mundane things, worldly things. This transitory abode, not spiritual. He said, must I tell you the truth? He said, yes. He said, dunya, I haven't even asked it from Allah who owns it. Why must I ask it from those who don't have it? I haven't even... مَا سَأَلْتُ الدُّنْيَا مِمَّنْ يَمْلِكُهَا فَكَيْفَ أَسْأَلُ مِمَّنْ لَا يَمْلِكُهَا. The one who doesn't own it, the one who owns it, that's Allah. I said, I can use my du'as more constructively. While its principle is absolutely fine, but I can use my du'as in a greater way in my supplications than using, why should I ask it from you? So anyway, Uzair alayhi salam passes by a locality. The point I was saying, how their minds run, what crosses their thoughts. There's another incident that just comes to mind. Malik bin Dinar. He says, I came to the Kaaba and I seen the thousands of people that converge and congregated. This thing crossed my heart. مَنِ الْمَقْبُولُ مِنْهُمْ وَمَنِ الْمَرْدُودُ مِنْهُمْ. Ya Allah, what numbers, what multitudes, what scores? إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. This ocean of mankind that are converging and congregating. And the whisper just crossed my heart. I wonder how many have made it and Allah is actually happy with them. Or how many are just here by coincidence or because of this. And nothing really has been accepted on their parts. What's crossing their mind? We're looking at the number of people coming here. And you say, imagine if the fruit, you know what tons of fruits must be coming in here. You know how many gallons of water? I'm just thinking if these people are working, you know how many shifts? Where our minds are running, and where were these people's minds? Anyway, I went to sleep that night. So in that night, I had a vision and I was told, قَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا. Allah has accepted every person but one man. Allah has accepted everyone from them but one person. Everybody's hajj is accepted with the exception of one person. Earlier this year, I was in Paris for a program, and we had to conduct the programs in Arabic because, mashallah, you know, it's a lot of Arabs that are there. So I had a ladies' program at a particular place, and after I completed my talk, and I was being ushered out, and we had another program, an Arab brother came, and he sat me down, and he said, Sheikh, daqiqa lahza, please, I just need 2 minutes. He brought his 7-year-old daughter, and I said, wow. He said, my daughter had a dream last night. Please listen to it and interpret it. So I told the brothers, just get out with me here. We need to see the little child and listen to her. These were her words, and I'm in the house of Allah. رَأَيْتُ رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي الْمَنَامِ. Last night I seen Allah in a dream. رَأَيْتُ رَبِّي. The tears just started trickling down my face. And I was like completely shocked off my balance. And then in her little child, as a little child, she's laughing and she's nudging her dad and she says, you tell the sheikh, and she carries on. And I said, no, please tell me. فَأَعْطَانِ رَبِّي مَوْزًا مُنَوَّرًا. These were words. Like Allah gave me, say our children, what they dreaming? What they assuming? What's their fantasies? What's their, imagine this as a dream. لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. In this verse, Allah, in the 11th juz in Surah Yunus, Allah says, glad tidings for the friends of Allah. The majority of the Mufassirin say glad tidings here denotes pleasant dreams, noble visions, good meaning. Allah gives them these comfortable, these soothing, these tranquilizing visions. And then Allah gave me this fruit of Jannah, this banana of Jannah, which was illuminated and it was so huge and so great that we were three of us, we kept on eating and eating and we were satiated and the banana was as it was. Look at this feeling. This is happening in our very times. So anyway, he says, I was sitting there and I was told that everybody's hajj is accepted, one person is rejected. It started bothering me. If I'm told everybody is accepted, one is rejected, I convince myself I'm not the exception. No, it can't be me. But if somebody's car is stolen from the parking lot, then I need to run out. It could be me. You know that feeling when you exit from a mall or you exit from the airport and you parked in block B and you came out in block C. And when you just came out for that moment and you realize your car is not there till you registered that you are looking in the wrong place. What happens to you? And what happens to me when I haven't completed my Quran or my activities of the day? I was in Chipata recently and I went to meet an old man, 90 years old. So he was sad that I can't come to the masjid. So I comforted him. I said, you know, Chacha, Allah also has a retirement package. So he says, what are you telling me? I said, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرَ كُتِبَ لَهُ مِثْلُ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُ صَحِيحٌ مُقِيمًا. That when you're young like this, and you're hale and healthy, and you exert yourself, and you perform to optimum, then Allah says, when you become ill, I will continue conferring the same reward on you, whatever you did in your youth, till the day you die. That's the retirement package of Allah, and not only exclusive to the frail and the weak, even if you embark on journey. In journey, there are challenges, restrictions, time, etc. Anyway, I slept by night. I said, Allah, who is this person? So the next night I was told, it's not you. So there was a sigh of relief. But equally there was concern in me, who is the person? It's not me, alhamdulillah, but it's some person in the ummah. I was then told, it's a particular man by the name of Harun from the tribe of Balkh. I got up in the morning and I started walking and I started scanning everywhere. I said, do you know people from the Balkh tribe? They said, yes. I said, do you know so-and-so? Of course. Tas'al an rajulin, you ask regarding a man who is the noblest of us all. I was surprised, I was alarmed, that this is what I've seen and this is what people are saying. Finally, I come to a man and I ask him, are you so-and-so? He said, yes. Is this your identity correct? Sorry for being so nosy and being so inquisitive, but I had a dream and I was told that everybody's hajj is accepted and one person's is rejected. And I say this with reservation and a crack in my voice and not in a condescending tone. But I'm sorry to inform you, tragically I was told that somewhat you are the exception and I'm afraid your hajj is kind of rejected. He said, I appreciate your sentiments and if any, that's a testimony of your piety. Because for 40 years I've been making hajj and every year a pious man has the dream. So before we deal with my crisis, the fact that you had a dream, that's a testimony to your piety. He said, okay, but then why is your hajj been rejected? He said, I was a young boy in the time of my life. And one day I was high with my friends. We went on a drinking buzz. And you know, just make the best of life, enjoy. وَكَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي وَكَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. When Samiri initiated the worship of the calf, and Musa alayhi salam interrogated him and said, why did you start this whole thing? He said, I felt like doing it. For the kick, for the fun, for the thrill, for the buzz, for the... It just gives me adrenaline. It makes me feel cool. That's it. It just makes me feel nice. It's crazy. It's amazing. Adventurous. You need to do drastic things to remain within your peers. That is the world in which we live. Those are the initiations. You know what? You renew your status by doing crazy things. وَكَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي. My ego just was inciting me and provoking me to do it. And that's what I did. He said, I was a young boy. I came back. It was the night preceding Ramadan. My mom said to me, يُصْبِحُ النَّاسُ صُوَّامًا وَتُصْبِحُ سَكْرًا أَمَا تَسْتَحْيِي مِنَ اللَّهِ. Listen, my son, even the sinners are making tawbah. Ramadan, the worst of people even change. Everybody's sorting their life out and you drunk. Don't you want to also think and, you know, introspect? And in a fit of rage because I was high, I slapped my mom. And my mom fell down and my mom was floored. And it's been that day to this day, 40 years, my hajj hasn't been accepted. And Haritha bin Nu'man, he completed the Qur'an. And then the Nabi of Allah said, I seen myself in Jannah. And then in Jannah, I'm hearing Qur'an been recited. So I told the Malaika, and who's this? Who's reading in Jannah? And they said, كَذَلِكَ الْبِرُ وَكَانَ أَبَرَّ النَّاسِ بِأُمِّهِ. You know your follower and your ummati Haritha, because he's kind to his mother, we have privileged him that he reads Quran on the earth and it's amplified and it is broadcasted in the heavens. Not on national TV, not on national radio, not on YouTube, not the biggest hit. He reads on the earth and this Quran is being amplified in the heavens. Muhammad bin Wasi', a great scholar, someone paid tribute to him and he said, لِلْأُمَرَاءِ قُرَّاءِ وَلِلْأَغْنِيَاءِ قُرَّاءِ وَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدْ لَمِنْ قُرَّاءِ الرَّحْمَانِ. You have national reciters and international reciters, and he read in this competition. And then you have those that feature as the reciters of Allah. And Muhammad ibn Wasi' was from among those people. Coming back to what I was saying, Uzair alayhi salam passes by a locality. What crossed his heart? What gripped his heart? What gripped his heart? أو كالذي مر على قرية وهي خاوية على عروشها. Dilapidated, collapsed. It was in absolute shambles. All had caved down. So it just crossed his heart. أن يحيي هذه الله بعد موتها. I know Allah is going to revive everyone and every human and every soul. And I'm just wondering, what would be the procedure in which Allah is going to revive this whole town, locality and neighborhood? فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ. Allah caused his death at that moment as he was entertaining this thought, not for a day or for a month or for a year, for a century. 100 years. فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ ثُمَّ بَعَثَ. Then Allah revived him. فَلَكَمْ لَبِثْتَ. How long did you sleep? He slept in the morning and he got up in the evening. He thought it was the evening of the same day. Sometimes you can sleep so long and perceive it to be so little. And sometimes you sleep little and you assume it to be long. And when he got up, كَمْ لَبِثْتُ قَالَ لَبِثْتُ يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمًا قَالَ بَلْ لَبِثْتَ مِئَةَ عَامٍ. You slept for a century. قَالَ بَلْ لَبِثْتَ مِئَةَ عَامٍ فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ تَعَامِكَ وَشَرَابِكَ لَمْ يَتَسَنَّ. And Allah has still preserved your food. Long story short, in the footnotes of Jalalain, he gathers himself, Allah revives his animal, he mounts onto his conveyance and he goes back to his locality and he says to them, I'm Uzair. They said, no, Uzair has long gone. Uzair has passed away. He said, no, I'm Uzair. He said, the only testimony of you being Uzair is he had memorized the Injil by heart. And nobody else but the Nabi knew it at that time. If you can read the Injil, this is what we heard and knew about Uzair alayhi salam. Once upon a time, the memorization of the divine book was an exclusive privilege to the Nabi and a handful of individuals. Uzair alayhi salam then recited the Injil. That is when they sanctioned and approved and endorsed that this was Uzair alayhi salam himself whom Allah had revived. وَمَا كُنْتَ تَرْجُوْ أَيُّ الْقَى إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ Allah telling the Nabi of Allah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you never entertained the possibility. It was not in your wildest dreams that you're going to be the greatest of creation and the Quran will come on your blessed chest. How many times when we look at the child, you think to yourself, no, not this one. I thought all my kids are going to become a hafiz, but not this one. And the one I least thought surprises me the most. This is the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكَ But a reflection and a manifestation of the sheer mercy of Allah. إِنَّ فَضْلَهُ كَانَ عَلَيْكَ كَبِيرًا Indeed, the boon of Allah upon you is very, very great. Ismail rahmatullah alayhi, as we know, the person completing is a young girl. And hence I thought I'll share some stories about young girls who have committed themselves to the Qur'an. So Ismail was a great authority in the Arabic language, and there are some very, very amazing anecdotes about him and great tales about him. Once he said, I went to the Banu Udhra tribe, in the search of learning Arabic. When I got there, it was written on a particular plaque, بِاللَّهِ أَخْبِرُوا أَيُّهَا الْعُشَّاقِ إِذَا اسْتَدَّوَجْدُمْ بِمْرِئٍ كَيْفَ يَسْنَعُوا Oh, people help a man who's gripped in the malady of lust and who's infatuated over a woman. How must he deal with it? بِاللَّهِ أَخْبِرُوا أَيُّهَا الْعُشَّاقِ إِذَا اشْتَدَّ وَجْدٌ بِمْرِئٍ كَيْفَ يَصْنَعُ So I looked at the Arabic. I was intrigued by the grammar of the Arabic. I was intrigued by the format. I responded and I said, يُدَاوِي هَوَاهُ وَيَكْتُمُ سِرَّهُ وَيَصْبِرُ فِي كُلِّ الْأُمُورِ وَيَخْضَعُ Simple three things he must do. He must conceal his fantasy, he must treat his malady, and he must learn to make sabr. Nothing happens instantly in life. Just persevere. We need to persevere. The other day I was teaching in class this ayat, and I have a flash of it and I share it with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the guardians of an orphan, But when a man passes away and he leaves behind children and you become the official guardian and you become the executor of that estate, and that wealth that has come into your care, you need to manage it with great respect and restraint. It's not your wealth, it is wealth in your care. This wealth belongs to the orphan. Understand this. But Allah said, don't give it to this child who is the owner as long as he is not responsible, liable and matured. If the Quran tells us not to give the money of someone which belongs to him when he doesn't have maturity, then how can we splash our money on kids who have no responsibility? وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا And don't hand over that money to the orphan which belongs to him when he is sufaha, he is foolish, he is irresponsible, he is negligent, he is careless. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا Two meanings. Allah has made you a guardian to it. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا Allah has made the wealth a source of your existence. وَرْزُقُوهُمْ فِيهَا وَكْسُوهُمْ Feed him from that money, it is his. وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا And say a kind word to him. That is, when you matured and you're responsible, فَإِنْ آنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَإِنْ آنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَدِفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ When there's maturity and responsibility. Today, unfortunately, this is one of the challenges of our life, that the softness and the pampering and the gentleness with which our children are growing up is not making them resilient to the challenges of life. They don't have that levels of resilience. Why? Because it's absolutely been pampered and cushioned. Anyway, he replied on this here. He said, tell him he must conceal his fantasy, he must treat his malady, and he must make sabr in life. He moved on. The next day he came back, it was written there again, كَيْفَ يَصْبِرْ وَالْهَوَى قَاتِلُ الْفَتَى كَيْفَ يَصْبِرْ وَالْهَوَى قَاتِلُ الْفَتَى وَفِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ رُوحُهُ يَتَقَطَّعُ. O kind man who took the pain to reply and respond, thank you for your sentiments, but easier said than done. How does a young man resist the temptation of evil when every day the crave of this particular woman kills him a fresh death? So he replies again, فَإِلَّمْ يُتِقْ صَبْرًا وَكَتْمًا لِسِرِّهِ فَلَيْسَ لَهُ شَيْءٌ سِوَى الْمَوْتِ أَنْفَعُ. He said, listen, my reply to you is simple. Either you crush evil and you annihilate evil within you and then you live beyond, or you succumb to that and you die for the rest of your life. Allah has referred to the life of obedience in the Quran as a life of a living person. And a person who disobeys, that of death. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. You who believe, comply to the sentiments of Allah and His Nabi, and in that you will be alive. You will be alive. There is pleasure in the restrictions of Quran. So anyway, Ismail says, I was walking one day and I seen this young girl. Qurtubi has made mention of it in his 13th volume as well. I seen this young girl, she is singing these couplets. This young girl, she is singing these couplets. What is she saying? أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِذَنْبِي كُلِّهِ قَبَّلْتُ إِنسَانًا بِغَيْرِ حِلِّهِ مِثْلُ الْغَزَالِ نَاعِمًا فِي جَلِّهِ وَانْتَصَفَ اللَّيْلُ وَلَمْ أُصَلِّهِ. May Allah forgive me that I entered into an illicit relation and I had trespassed the boundaries and the parameters of modesty. And she's lamenting and singing and she is just whispering to herself. And her voice was so sweet and melodious and attractive that while she was repenting inadvertently because of the sweetness of her tone, I was sinning. As she was repenting, but her tone was so sweet that my thoughts were strained, my ideas were running elsewhere, my mind was thinking something else. So I said, قَاتَلَكِ اللَّهُ يَا فَتَاتْ مَا أَفْصَحَكِ. Sister, you are articulate, you are amazing, you're so sweet, you're adorable, your words are so beautiful, your couplets are so awesome, it penetrates the heart, you have a profound impact. Look at this girl, she had Quran in her heart, and may Allah make our young hafizah the same, and may she be an equal inspiration for all other young girls, inshallah. Say ameen, brothers. She said, woe be to you. Are you blown away by my poetry? And have you become oblivious of the profound nature of the Quran? What an insult upon you that you are fancying my words, you are recognizing my words, and you are turning a blind eye to Quran. And then she said, I'm not going to tell you the whole Quran, I'll just share with you one verse of the Quran. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِي فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. جمعت هذه الآية على وجازتها بين أمرين ونهيين وخبرين وبشارتين. I tell you one ayah of the Quran, and do you know, this is a verse of the 20th juz, a verse of Surah Qasas. This ayah, despite its comprehensive nature, look at the richness of Quran, it imbibes in its scope two glad tidings, two prohibitions, two informations. جمعت هذه الآية على and two instructions. One ayah, two lines, and there are six things you can deduce from it. Number one, in that there are two instructions. What are the instructions? وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِي. And we inspired the bosom of Moses' mother,
Musa alayhi salam's mother,
because when she was told to put the baby in the river Nile. So we inspired the mother of Musa, an arbi'i, the first command in the side, this young girl. This is richness, and this is our dialogue, and this is why we've come, and this is what makes a child good. Kiss and nurse and suckle the child. The first command in the ayah, nurse the child. Look at the beauty of the Quran. Allah told the mother of Musa, nurse the child, and then put the child in the river Nile, in the basket. I have arranged for my enemy and his enemy to receive him. You know, you have sughar bidun murafiq, unaccompanied minors. In Dubai, you must see that, and you pass there, you take note of it. Unaccompanied minors. So they are put on a flight by an adult, and they are received by a guardian. Allah said, these are the categoric words of the Quran, drop him in the basket. I have deputed my enemy and this baby's enemy, he will be there at the shore to receive him. يَأْخُذُهُ عَدُوٌ لِي وَعَدُوٌ لَهُ. Oh my words. This is Quran. This is amazing. This is the richness. This is profound. This sort of penetrates the heart. It's real. It's not a fantasy. It's not a tale. يَأْخُذُهُ عَدُوٌ لِي وَعَدُوٌ لَهُ. My enemy and his enemy will receive him. What are the protective measures? Have we beefed up the security? Have we increased the surveillance? Are we monitoring on our system? No, no. وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. I have cast such beauty on your face, Musa. Anybody looks at you will be melted by your beauty. How often a child, due to his naughtiness, his shenanigans, his disobedience, you really want to reproach and chastise. But the smirk on the child's face, now you're holding back, you know, you want to show that muscle of yours, but you want to laugh yourself out because he's so sweet and he's so innocent and he's so beautiful. That's your average child. This is Musa alayhi salam. وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. Nothing else. I've just put beauty on your face. And that's beauty from my side. From my side, direct. Allah describes the damsels of paradise, نُورُهُنَّ مِن نُورِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. They will draw their light from the countenance of Allah. So you don't need to ask more. So we told one verse. We told the mother of Musa two instructions. فَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِي فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. The second instruction, drop the baby in the basket. Two prohibitions, وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي وَلَا تَخَافِي غَرْقَهُ وَلَا تَحْزَنِي فِرَاقَهُ. Don't fear him drowning and don't lament his separation. Two glad tidings, إِنَّا رَدُّوهُ إِلَيْكَ وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. He's not going to die. He's coming back. And we are going to make him a Nabi and send him back. So when Ismail heard this, he said, Subhanallah, فَأُعْجِبَ بِفَهْمِهَا وَإِدْرَاكِهَا. He was more blown away by the understanding of this girl than her sheer recitation of the Quran. And that is what the Quran is all about. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was walking by night. In a distance he seen a group. He said, let's engage them. He said, Manil Qawm, where are you people coming from? So fa'ajaba, someone from that group replied and he said, Min al Fajjil Amiq. We are coming from a distant, remote location. So Sayyidina Umar said, ask them, now it's dark, it's night, it's camouflage, you can't see. Sayyidina Umar said, I pose them a second question, أَيْنَ تُرِيدُونَ. Where are you people heading to? So someone replied, الْبَيْتَ الْعَتِيقِ. We are heading to the Kaaba. So Sayyidina Umar said, إِنَّ فِيهِمْ رَجُلًا عَالِمًا. There's somebody learned there. From this we learn that when you carry the Quran in your heart, there must be a manner in which you speak. There must be dignity in the manner in which you carry yourself. Fudayl ibn Ayyad said, يَنْبَغِي لِحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ أَلَّا يَلْهُ مَعَ مَنْ يَلْهُ. وَلَا يَلْغُوا مَعَ مَنْ يَلْغُوا وَلَا يَسْهُوا مَعَ مَنْ يَسْهُوا. The young child who's getting the Quran can't say, no, but everybody's playing this on the phone, but everybody does this on the net, but everybody peruses that. No, no, but everybody doesn't have the Quran. You got the Quran. You got the Quran. There has to be a distinction. There has to be a distinction. You got to stand up differently in the manner in which you carry the Quran. So Sayyidina Umar said, engage them, nadi him, ask them, أي القرآن أعظم, which is the greatest verse of the Quran. So he replied, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum. Look at this quiz. Look at this quiz. This is so rich. This is so meaningful. Engaging, spending quality time and learning about the Quran. Impressive. Recently I was in Barbados and I just have a flash of this here and this thing gives me a shiver in my body. None of us can be complacent, my brothers. None of us can be complacent. Our grandfathers could be huffaz and could be ulama. There's no guarantee of us remaining on deen. I met a revert 2 months ago and he was attending my talks. And then he said, I have a request for you to make a dua. And I said, inshallah, I will make dua. He said, the man who invited me to Islam has left the fold of Islam. The man at whose hands I took shahadat. He came to me one day and he said, listen, you can't live a life like this. You need to give up your life of sin and look at Islam. And he gave me literature and I took the shahadat at his hands only to discover that he has lost Islam. So we are living in very, very scary times. May Allah preserve our iman. And then the verse I recited. قال الرسول يا رب إن قوم اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. The Nabi of Allah will complain on the day of Qiyamah and say, my nation has forsaken and abandoned the Quran. Forsaken and abandoned the Quran. So anyway, Sayyidina Umar said, ask them which is the greatest verse. They replied by saying, Ayatul Kursi. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, ask them the next question, Ayyul Quran Ajma', which is the most comprehensive verse of the Quran. A reply came from the opposite group, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. But what does that? That for me is symbolic khutbah over namaz starting, get up. That's what I understand. Aksam bin Sayfi became a Muslim on this ayah. Uthman bin Mad'un said, I had accepted Islam, but I still was a bit skeptical and uneasy. When I heard this verse, it just penetrated the depths of my heart and I said, Islam is the absolute religion. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was standing and he heard a non-Muslim who had taken the Shahada. He said, Islam is the greatest religion, Islam is the greatest religion. Sayyidina Umar calmed him down and said, of course we know that. What's all the euphoric moment and the jubilation and the excitement about? He said, I heard one verse of the Quran and I've accepted Islam and I've studied all the scriptures and I'm convinced this one verse imbibes all the scriptures in it. Sayyidina Umar said, and this mentioned in Ma'arif al-Quran, which is this verse? 18 Juz Surah Nur. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَخْشَ اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقْهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. The one who obeys Allah, then he commentates on the Quran and he gives his own commentary. The one who obeys Allah, meaning he practices on everything that Allah has made obligatory and mandatory. وَرَسُولَهُ, and he wholeheartedly embraces the teachings of Nabi alayhi salam. I must say something here. Allah didn't only tell us that we must follow the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah said we must embrace it without any reservation or apprehension or uncertainty or two-mindedness. If you take it, but yeah, we Muslims, what else can we? No, 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 no. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Say unto them, O my Habib, they do not satisfy the requirements of being true believers until they don't accept your life as the absolute correct way. And then they mustn't feel heavy or reluctant or burdened or uneasy or skeptical about what you say. Then Allah further expounds on that in a positive context. وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا, and they surrender in its absolute entirety, then they are believers. Sayyidina Umar said, O Nabi of Allah, I love you more than everyone but myself. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Umar, you're going to have to remove that but for iman to be concluded. And now Umar had one exception, and that was himself. And the Nabi of Allah said, no, we have 1,000 exceptions. Where can iman be complete? Which is the most comprehensive verse this year? Nadihim ayyul Qur'ani akhwaf. Which is the verse that instills the greatest fear? May ya'mal su'an yujzi. Whoever does evil, retribution will be meted out. Again, I'm reminded of another verse in the 25th juz. Look at the Qur'an, and that's what our focus is today. And I say to this young girl and to this young boy, we recited now what he read in Surah Salah, in Surah Fatir, in the 22nd juz. ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. ثُمَّ in Arabic denotes succession. So this Quran was given to Nabi alayhi salam. Thereafter it was passed over to those people whom we select. Then Allah gives three categories. فَمِنُهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِ. Some of them are oppressors. وَمِنُهُمْ مُقْتَسِد. Some of them are moderate. وَمِنُهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. And some of them are excel in virtue. In Ruhul Ma'ani, under this ayah, there's 43 opinions mentioned. You know, we say Kawthar. Allah gave the Nabi of Allah Kawthar. In Al-Bahrul Muhit, there are 26 opinions of Kawthar. This is the Quran. It's so great. It's so phenomenal. It's so amazing. It's mind-boggling. This is where we need to apply our talents. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَبِ. Whoever does evil, retribution will be meted out. There is a verse in the 25th juz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُو عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Whatever you do in evil, you will be punished for it. And majority of it Allah overlooks. So sometimes we have a little bad day. Things are a bit unstable. Then we say, hey, I did something wrong today. You need to retract that sentiments of yours. You didn't do something wrong today, my brother. Forgive me if I'm tamping your toes and I'm crude and I'm harsh and I'm not euphemistic. But the reality is you and I did something wrong every day. Not only today. Today Allah made you taste the consequences of your wrong. It's not only the day things went wrong. Hey, today I don't know if my wuzu was right in Fajr. When was it right? You say, hey, today I don't know, man. Something is not right. I don't know if there was ikhlas in my charity this morning. No, the Quran says, مَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ. Whatever wrong is because of your actions, وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. And majority of it we overlook. I read the ayah, you heard the ayah. That's the translation. Sayyidina Ali said, this ayah gives me the greatest hope in the whole Quran. This ayah gives me the greatest hope in the whole Quran. Allahu Akbar. What's in here? What am I saying? He said, لِأَنَّ الْكَرِيمَ إِذَا عَاقَبَ مَرَّةً لَا يُعَاقِبُ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. Because Allah says, whatever you do wrong, I will punish you for it. So whatever you are being subjected to as a result of your wrong, that's a subtle indication that Allah is atoning and expiating your wrong in this world. Because Allah is too kind to punish you twice for the same wrong. That's a human. He'll taunt you till the day you die for one wrong. But Allah won't punish you twice for one wrong. Allah won't punish you. If Allah punished you one chapter closed, it's over. In Tafsir al-Uthmani, these are just thoughts that are coming to my mind, so I'm sharing it with you. Allah is speaking of the campaign of Uhud. Now listen to this. Allah is speaking of Uhud. Talking of Quran. وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ. And when you were strategizing and you exited, oh man, can you imagine that moment? The eyes just become green with envy. Allah is painting and sketching the image of Uhud. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you exited from your house that morning and you were creating the landscape of the battle. وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ إِذْ هَمَّتْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَن تَفْشَلَا. And as they were leaving towards Uhud, Abdullah bin Ubay decided to backstab, and he decided to withdraw. And when he decided to withdraw with 300, two active factions from the Muslims, reliable, genuine, sincere Muslims, for a moment they also had a whisper and they said, oh, now maybe we should also call it off. We should abandon it.
Banu Salimah, Banu Haritha. But look at the Sahaba, Allah praised them. Allah first reproached them, then Allah praised them. Wallahu waliyuhuma. But Allah was their guardian and Allah rescued them. Then Allah goes into the aspect of Uhud. After that, Allah interjects the discussion. And Allah says, don't get involved in interest. And then Allah resumes Uhud. This is, I'm just giving you a brief, my time is short. I haven't started, you're saying that we're going to be flying all the time. You know, this is like, we haven't started. Allah is speaking of Uhud. When I talk the sequence in my speech, when you talk the sequence in your speech, how can there be no sequence in the speech of Allah? Allah is speaking of Uhud. Then Allah interjects, Allah pauses. For you who believe, don't eat interest. Don't eat compound interest. Don't involve in interest. Don't dabble in interest. Don't get involved in haram. And then Allah continues with Uhud. In Tafsir Uthmani, Maulana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullahi alayhi writes, what's the correlation? What's the tie? What's the link between the two? As all Muslims, two groups of yous sense some weakness. That due to the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were rescued and you were protected. As a message to the Muslims to come till Qiyamah, if you will ever involve yourself in interest, permanent weakness will paralyze you. You will never stand up for the deen of Allah. Permanent weakness will enter. It will eat up your bones. It will destroy your spiritual immune system. So what did Sayyidina Ali said? This ayah gives me the greatest of hope. إِذَا رَأَيْتَ قَصَاوَةً فِي قَلْبِكَ وَوَهْنًا فِي بَدَنِكَ وَحِرْمَانًا فِي رِزْقِكَ. When you see your heart is hard and deprivation in your sustenance and lack of barakah, then a sahabi said, you need to harness the blue tongue of yours. You need to harness it. That is where you've lost yourself. They say in English, speaking to children is like dialing a number. If you miss one digit, you don't get through. And if you have that realization as an afterthought, it doesn't help. You dial the whole thing, oh, you forgot to put the code. I thought I just enter 031 in the end. No, it don't work. It must start all over. One thing wrong, it rocks the boat. It upsets the apple cart. You could be going on a detoxing. Couple with that, while you are on the detox program, and you are having some fatty or things of obesity, it's going to negatively impact on the whole health program or whatever that particular diet is on. How many wrongs in my life, how can it bring the goods? We talk of water today, my brother. One of the themes of the Quran, not one of the messages, one of the themes of the Quran is, Allah reminds you, I am powerful, I am mighty, I'm giving you a chance. I don't act in haste, but when I strike thoroughly. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا. You dig in a water hole, you dig in a well today, good luck. We all are clutching onto whatever is available. Go for the ball. But these are the concluding verses of Surah Mulk. I don't know if you ever thought of reading it. Today is your chance. Open it. Say unto them, if I decide to cause the water in the ground to go so deep that it becomes inaccessible for you, I block it from the top, I dry it from the earth. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا. Say unto them, did they ever think? Did they ever think? You know, you tell your son, you're talking on the phone, do you know somebody pays the bill? You tell your mother also, sometimes she goes over the hour, the punch-up time is over. She know, you wonder, somebody's paying the bill. Do you know? Each man wants to say, do you know what I'm doing? I don't want to pull the plug on you, my son, but you need to know somebody is taking care of your cause. Isn't you drinking? I'm not stopping you drink. But you need to know there's an Allah that's nourishing you. Say unto them, فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. And who will give you pure water? In Jalalain it's written, an arrogant, proud, haughty individual said, بِالْفُؤُوسِ وَالْمَعَاوِلِ. With technology, we'll go so much deeper down. If it goes 200, we'll go 200, we'll go. فَذَهَبَ مَاءُ عَيْنِهِ فَعَمِيَ. It's in Jalalain, you can read it there. Allah instantly dried up the eye, the water in his eyes, and he became blind. Allah instantly dried up. And the hadith of Muslim Sharif in Riyadh al-Salihin, there was drought, and there was famine. And this person says, I was walking, and I'm hearing this cloud saying, Isqi hadiqata fulan. The cloud is saying, yeah, go shower your rain on this man's garden and his farm and his orchard. So I'm like tagging behind this cloud, and like, am I hearing right? I walk, 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 I see the cloud. Cloud comes exclusively to a particular man's holding, and he's sitting relaxed there. Everybody else is in panic and uneasiness here. The cloud comes, halts there, showers down, takes the water, filters, does his irrigation, enjoys everything. I said, brother, sorry man, wait. This is not working right now. This is now curiosity piercing through the roof now. I'm walking, I heard this name. Is that you? Yes. Everybody in dryness and drought, and you having your exclusive fair share of rain. He said, whenever it's time to harvest my orchards and he's plucked my fruit, poor eat first, I eat thereafter. Allah. Yesterday I was reading in Madarikul Tanzeel, oh my word. So in Arabic, you know, there's this synonyms. I have a fantasy for this semantics of the Arabic word because there's so much meaning to it. So there are four words. I just read it yesterday, so I'll just share it with you quickly. You have bukhl, you have shuh, you have dood, and you have sakha. So bukhl, the ulama say, to mize. The ahlul lugha, the linguistics, those that are into linguistics, they tell us, bukhl means, أَنْ يَأْكُلَ مِنْ مَالِهِ وَلَا يُوكَلْ. That a man eats from his own wealth, nobody else eats, it's mine. It's mine, it's only mine, nobody else does, this belongs to me. And the phrase that Allah used in the Qur'an, the phrase that Allah used in the Qur'an for the pious, when they give their wealth, they don't say, I gave you my money. They say, Allah left your money with me. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ MashaAllah, I heard some youngsters were making water available. May Allah bless them and other brothers. May Allah reward you. May Allah reward you. Really, a believer is أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ, the one who just goes out and benefits people. So what is bukhl? May Allah protect us. The one who eats, nobody else eats. Then you have something worse than maizin, and that is shuh. Shuh, shahihun. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ. Shuh. Shuh means, أَلَّا يَأْكُلَ مِنْ مَالِهِ وَلَا يُوكَلْ مِنْ مَالِهِ. That he doesn't have the courage to eat his own. It must just accumulate and amass and look nice. Mi waparwano. Joya karwano. You know? Then you can say, I died with such a balance. That's the thrill. What did the Quran say? We read the surah daily. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ أَلَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ. Oh my word. أَلَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ. Who gathers and counts daily, his body language suggests that the more he has, the longer he lives. I'm paraphrasing, but you open the verbatim translation. جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. He foolishly, naively thinks, the more I got, the longer I live. So that is shahi. Who is shahi? He don't eat, nobody else eats. Then is the third person, jood, generosity. What is generosity? أَنْ يَأْكُلْ مِنْ مَالِهِ وَيُوكَلْ مِنْ مَالِهِ. Allah gave me, I also eat, you also eat. And then there's one thing greater than generosity, saha. أَلَّا يَأْكُلَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَيُوْكِلُ مِنْ مَالِهِ. Is that what Allah gives him? He doesn't eat from it himself. Everybody else eats from what he's got. Generosity, these are academic words. I eat and others eat. But above this generosity is sakha. Don't worry, I finish eat. But he never eats and he feeds the whole creation. Anyway, my time is running out. Just to share with you one, two incidents of the Quran. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu and Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum to Medina. And they came to Medina and then they started the groupings of Quran. And mashallah, there's so many groups taking place now of Quran and we want to revive this. The aim is to create the environment, the atmosphere of Quran. But live the Quran, exhibit the Quran. I told you one thing here, interest, how it's paralyzing, how it's crippling, how it's creating. Allah brings in between the discussion. These are the things in which we dabble, these are the things in which we indulge, and hence we see the repercussion and the negative consequences. So anyway, when they came there, so Usaid bin Hudayr and Sa'ad bin Mu'az, who became great Qurra, it was through the influence of these two youngsters. Who was it? Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum radiallahu anhu. This is amazing incident of Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum. Abu Bakr and Umar say, one night we were sitting with Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. This was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, not Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. But nonetheless, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was reciting Quran. And he was so engrossed in it, he was oblivious of our presence. And myself, Umar is saying, Abu Bakr and the Nabi of Allah standing behind, and we all just listening to him reading Quran. Wow. Can you imagine that? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud reciting. And then the Prophet of Allah took us aside and he said, من سره أن يقرأ القرآن رطبا كما نزل فليقرأ على قراءة ابن أم عبد. If you really want to preserve the Quran as it was revealed, then listen to this man read. Listen to this man read Quran. This is Quran. Anyway, thereafter he started making dua. So the Nabi of Allah from the rear said, سَلْ تُعْطَى سَلْ تُعْطَى. Ibn Mas'ud asked, I'm saying Ameen. Ask, I'm saying Ameen. Ask, I'm saying Ameen. Abu Bakr and Umar said, oh, we are green with envy here. Yeah? Can you imagine this? The man is making dua and the Nabi of Allah from the rear, and he doesn't know, he's so engrossed in his dua. You take a child on his phone, he'll walk past you. He will have no idea what's happening. Years ago I was flying, and there was this youngster sitting next to me, and every little while his mom was keeping an eye on him, 14-hour long haul, and he's riveted to the screen, and then the mom comes, John, are you fine? Yeah. John, do you need to go to the lavatory? No, mom, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. Like, wait, how get napak here now, man? If he's, you know what I mean? Riveted. I read an article, compulsive gamblers wear adult diapers when they play the machines. Compulsive gamblers wear adult diapers. Anxiety, need, I can't go and relieve myself. What an addiction. What a sick world. What a sick world. We are a nation blessed and cursed by our innovation. Khalid Baig's article. We are a nation, it summarizes our innovation today. We are a nation blessed and cursed. You can't do without the phone, and you can't be rescued from the scourge of the evil of that phone. We are a nation, our glory and failure intertwine together. Blessed and cursed at the same time. Long story short, they go there and they start reading Quran. So, Sa'd bin Mu'az tells Usayd bin Hudayr, why don't you go listen to these people? I don't know what they're all up to. So he comes, and he says, yeah, why you want to come read Quran? The Quran is like this, and this is the effect of it. He said, أَوَلَا تُجْلِسْ فَتَسْمَعْ إِنْ رَضِيْتَ قَبِلْتَهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَرْضَ كَتَفْنَا عَنْكَ مَا تَكْرَهُ. A believer, he has no doubt in his heart about Iman. Today, my brothers, we live in challenging times. Let me say this to you, Allah will tolerate deficiency in action. Allah will not, and I'm not condoning deficiency, but I'm saying in the system of Allah there's room for that. Allah will not tolerate deficiency in belief. Your aqidah, your aqaid must be firm, must be anchored, must be embedded, must be established. You need to know your principles, you need to know your fundamentals. So, Usayd ibn, when he heard this, Mus'ab ibn Umair, he knew the Quran. He said, listen, I don't have to sit and give you a long story. You listen to it, and if you don't like it, that's the last you heard it. We won't read it in your Medina again at all. At that time were the early stages of Medina. We won't read it. And if you like it, you can consider to accept it. Because the conviction, this is the divine speech of Allah Ta'ala. I don't have to go and shine it. It has its own glitter. When he heard this, he said, this sounds impressive. This sounds amazing. So Usayd bin Hudayr then goes to Sa'd bin Mu'az. Sa'd bin Mu'az says, what are your findings? He says, listen, man, the gentleman sounds candid. He sounds genuine. He sounds impressive. So he said, looks like he bought you over. He said, why don't you come and listen? When he comes and listens, he is more impressed than Usayd bin Hudayr. He goes back to his people. He said, kalamu rijalikum wa nisa'ikum alayya haram. I'm no more part of you, and you are no more part of me if you don't join me and accept the faith of this man. And collectively, they come and accept this deen. So this is the richness of the Quran, and this is the gift that Allah has conferred upon this young girl. The aim should be, like Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said, Quran ko khatam karna maqsood nahi hai. Quran mein apni zindagi ko khatam karna maqsood hai. The aim is not to end the Quran. The aim is to end your life in the Quran. It's not to end it. You know, a lot of times in Ramadan, 10 khatams, 20 khatams, that's great. We're not undermining or trivializing the profound nature of the Quran that has its rich. that my whole life has to continue in the service of the Quran. That is the aim, that is the vision, that is the drive. قَدْ تُنْكِرُ الْعَيْنُ ذَوْءَ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ رَمَدِي وَيُنْكِرُ الْفَمُ طَعْمُ الْمَاءِ مِنْ سَقْمِي. قَدْ تُنْكِرُ الْعَيْنُ ذَوْءَ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ سَقْمِي. Sometimes, because of the weakness of your vision, you cannot appreciate the brightness of the sun. And sometimes because of the sickness of your nature, your taste buds can't appreciate the sweetness of water. The Quran is rich, it is pure, it is wholesome. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the muallima, to accept the young learner, to accept the family, to bring goodness to the family. May ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a beacon of light, to make this something that will be an attraction and a catalyst for many of our other young girls. When I was now in Barbados, in Trinidad, there was a scholar from America, and he told me of an American young woman who reverted to Islam. She says, Sheikh, she lived in our locality. She didn't only revert to Islam, 25 years old. She memorized the Quran, but that's not all. She then completed the qira'at as-sab'a and ashra. She completed, she says she's not even 30, she's a revert. And she says, I want to marry someone who can offer me more in terms of richness of Quran. He said, this is something that's happening fresh. إِن تَتَوَلَّوْ يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. Get onto the bandwagon, because if you're not going to respond, we'll put other passengers that will fill this conveyance up. ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُ أَمْثَالَكُمْ. When did Allah need me ever? That it's pending on me. It's not pending on me. Young people, reverts, elderly people. I mentioned this and I will round up on this here. I was in London, attending a particular program. Before I commenced my talk, an elderly man, 60 plus, he... No offense, because today even a man who's 60 is young, you know. Everybody is young. They say women lie about their age and men lie about their income. A man's, I will be back in 5 minutes, is like a woman's, I'll be ready in 5 minutes. Men lie about their income. No, me, I'm learning. She fall and she, I'm only 20s. And then when you get the nikah certificate and the ID, then you say, why, oh, elder than me. Anyway, that's a separate issue altogether. This man past 60, he recited the Quran. I was like intrigued, amazing. Next day I had another program in London, the same man, Masoom Bhai, Chacha Masoom. So Chacha, aap zara Quran parenge? Haan, bilkul. We called him, ushered him, he recited the Quran. I'm like, no, what's this all happening here, man? I thought you were going to call a little lad from the hips class. No, this old man, frail, weak, comes and reads. So I asked my host, I said, like, you know what, put flesh to the theory. Tell me what's all this happening. He said, this man hails from Pakistan, living in London for many years. At the age of 60, he decided he wants to learn the Quran and memorize it. It's not too late. So he started memorizing. I don't know what's his age exactly. And now, alhamdulillah, he's memorized 17 juz. Then I went back 2 years later, and I met him again. I consciously made it a point to go and meet him and find out how far, and he was on 27 juz. I said, subhanallah, this is it. We can learn at any time. Amr ibn Jamu' had passed the 60 mark. We know about Amr ibn Jamu when he went in the campaign and he said, oh, don't let me return. After 60 years, his son Mu'adh said, Dad, you want to listen to Quran? He said, no, I don't believe in this man. He said, okay, listen. He started reciting Quran. He said, ma ahsana hadha al-kalam wa ma ajmal. Oh, this is amazing. This is amazing. And I swear to you, Allah has given me a little ability to teach Quran. That's my best hour of the whole day in 24 hours. The time when you're sitting with Quran and you're trying to unpack. We can't claim anything. That closeness and that inspiration and that meaning is the greatest moments when you are connected to the Quran, that tranquility. After the age of 60, his son Mu'adh reads Quran. He listens to it. He said, this is an amazing speech. Wa kullu kalamihi hadha? Is the whole Quran like this? He said, of course. Allahu ahsan, Allahu nazzala ahsan al-hadith kitaban mutashabiha mathani taqsha'irru minhu julud. When you read it, your hair will stand. Thumma talinu juluduhum. Then your hearts will soften up. He said, okay, wait, I'm going to speak to my idol. He goes to his idol. He said, Dad, you're wasting your time, man. This is like, you don't get any inspiration. Youngster, that is why, when a youngster comes on deen, there's hope a family will come on deen. When a parent comes on deen, there's no guarantee the children will come on deen. But how many times when a youngster comes on deen, he brings the parents on deen. And often when a youngster goes astray, at times he takes his parents evil. May Allah guide and protect one another. It is mentioned in the Quran, وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنِ فَخَشِينَا أَن يُرْهِقَهُمَا تُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. Allah said, this child we took him before the age of puberty, because he was going to become a bouncer, he was going to become a sinner, he was going to become an evil person, but his sin wasn't going to be limited to him, he was going to take his parents into kufr also. So we took pity on him and we gave him death, making Jannat wajib for him, gave his parents sabr and made Jannat wajib for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept and bless inshallah, and may Allah bless us with beneficial rain also, as we are taught and as I mentioned, when we will reach out and do what we have to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with rain inshallah. I extend my gratitude to Yunus Bhai and the family, and it was a short and a quick visit, but inshallah on a noble note, we hope and we pray from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He has assembled us and gathered us and complicated us here, that this would be a source of our blessings and our goodness on the day of Qiyamah. And while many of our young boys have memorized Quran, perhaps not on that scale have our girls memorized, surely this is an incentive, a motivation, and an encouragement. So inshallah, we will have more of our girls, inshallah, memorizing the Quran as well. Inshallah, the sister would now complete, and then as a Mufti Sahib will make dua, and on that note we will conclude. وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ وَسَلِّمْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ